I will, with the utmost strength and dedication, work every day to protect and secure our homeland.
So the president tweeting out this confirmation that Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is leaving.
Kirstjen Nielsen is out tonight as the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Leaving her position.
Resignation. That's one word to describe it, I suppose.
In her 15 months on the job, Kirstjen Nielsen became the face of controversial policies.
Zero tolerance and family separation.
This is just a very sad example of the dangers of this journey. This family chose to cross illegally.
We've never had a policy for family separation.
It is, I think, unconscionable. I think it is immoral. It's got to stop. And clearly she does not see the need for it to stop, so she should go.
She has been a disgrace, separating families, caging children.
And it's certainly our intention to reunify all families that are suitable.
We saw, even in children who were in shelters for very short periods of time, regressive behaviors, bedwetting, hurting themselves. I saw one child chewing on his arm.
President Trump wants to go in a tougher direction.
Kirstjen Nielsen, her name is against the wall, is an open border zealot.
The president berated Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen Wednesday. The president was angry she hasn't done enough to secure the country's borders.
I will, with the utmost strength and dedication, work every day to protect our homeland.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. A look back there at the rocky tenure of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. On Sunday, Nielsen joined the ranks of dozens of other cabinet members and senior officials who have offered their resignation to the Trump administration. Speculation of Nielsen's departure had swirled for weeks as the president continued to blame her for failing to adequately address migration at the southern border. But despite that, Nielsen was still the public face for many of the Trump administration's aggressive anti-immigration policies. She oversaw the zero-tolerance policy, which has separated thousands of migrant children from their parents at the U.S. border. Government officials said last week that it could take months, if not years, to reunite some of them with their families. And she oversaw the Remain in Mexico asylum policy change, which forced migrants to stay in Mexico while they wait for their asylum claims to go through. And that move was widely criticized by human rights organizations. Kevin McAleenan is the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, and he'll be stepping in as Acting Secretary of DHS. We have two people with us now to take a look back at Nielsen's time in the role, as well as what might come next for DHS and the situation at the border. Jonathan Blitzer is a staff writer for The New Yorker who's written extensively about Nielsen. Jonathan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Leon Fresco is an immigration attorney and former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department. Leon, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Jonathan, let's start with you. Nielsen's departure, we mentioned, had been rumored for months. What was the straw that broke the camel's back this weekend?
I think it was a matter of time. I mean, these rumors had swirled for more than a year at this point. And every time the president got enraged with the fact that more people were showing up at the southern border, the more likely it was that Nielsen was going to get edged out, even though, as you mentioned in your introduction, Nielsen made a real point of showing just how harsh and tough she could be in terms of border enforcement. But the president tended to blame her for broad regional trends in migration. And so given what we've seen in the last few months, and particularly last month with record numbers of apprehensions at the southern border, it became increasingly clear that her position was untenable.
Leon, let's bring you in here, because in 2019, we've seen twice as many migrants, but the increase here has been particularly among families that are entering the United States along the southern border. What does that tell us about how effective this administration's deterrence policies were?
The problem is that we've known since this started in 2014 that the regulatory changes that any administration would want to make to change this are not going to work. There are statutes and there are court decisions that give due process to people coming in seeking asylum. And so if there's going to be a change, it's going to need to be a change that's worked out on a bipartisan basis. And so the only changes that can be made now, I call them the three R's: rhetoric, recklessness, and results. And you're not going to get a change in results if you don't have bipartisan cooperation in law. You can only maybe have a change in rhetoric where the person sounds angrier and more forceful, or you could have a change in recklessness where the person actually starts disregarding the law and the court decisions. But if you do those changes in rhetoric and recklessness, then you jeopardize your chance of getting results, which is what you need, and you need that by having someone who lawmakers can believe in and negotiate a bipartisan solution with.
Jonathan, we mentioned in the introduction as well that Nielsen, of course, has been the public face for many of these this administration's very aggressive anti-immigration policies, particularly when it comes to zero tolerance. Nielsen has repeatedly denied that the Trump administration had a policy of separating families. Can you give us remind us about how she was involved in carrying that policy out?
Exactly. And I think it's worth keeping in mind the irony of Nielsen's tenure in this regard, which is that in an administration full of anti-immigration ideologues, Nielsen was never a true believer. She was an opportunist. And so the zero tolerance policy for her was a chance to prove her loyalty to the president and to prove her toughness to her critics within the administration. So basically what Nielsen has done since the initial announcement of zero tolerance in April and May of 2018, was that she has claimed publicly that the administration does not have a family separation policy, but rather that it simply tried to prosecute people who've crossed the border illegally. Now, obviously, this is misleading to the point of being just an outright and indefensible lie, because the idea of prosecuting these parents means very concretely that you'd be separating them from their children. And so through it all, Nielsen has tried to maintain that line up until the present moment, which has understandably got her into hot water with everyone, because she's been lying about one of the most grievous policies of the Trump administration.
And Leon, to bring you back in here, last week we said that government officials said it could take up to 1 to 2 years in some cases to reunite some of these children who had been separated from their families under zero tolerance. Leon, is that even legal? I mean, have we violated human rights at this point?
Well, I think the government has a duty, a constitutional duty, when, you know, we talk about you can't separate people from life, liberty, or property without due process. That certainly means you can't separate them from their children without due process. And here, saying 1 or 2 years, obviously what they mean to say is as fast as possible. Now, what they're trying to do is to get themselves in a position where the court doesn't start sanctioning people or throwing people in jail if they can't meet whatever deadline they gave. So they wanted to give themselves a deadline they could meet. But the problem was with the original sin, which was if you were going to do something that required parents to be separated from children, you needed to have a much, 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 much better way of accountability and rollout and processing and tracking and other guardians you can put people with, etc. If you were ever going to do this, I'm not saying you should have ever done it, but it needed to be, if something that serious was going to be done, it needed to be thought out much, much better. And so now, no, of course not. Saying you're not going to be able to reunite people for 1 or 2 years is not acceptable under any standard of constitutionality.
Jonathan, I'm also thinking, you know, Nielsen, as you mentioned, was essentially an opportunist here, but she still carried out a lot of the hardline immigration policies that the president wanted. Why ultimately would he turn against her? Is that just, we know that the president has a tendency to do that with people who don't fulfill his demands, if you will, but why here?
I think there are two answers to that question. The first is what you're already alluding to, that the president is so impatient in these matters and is so generally heedless and thoughtless in how he thinks about leadership decisions within his administration, that anytime there's complicated or distressing news to him, he tends to lash out at the person who's closest to the problem. So in this case, it was Nielsen. The second answer is a bit more complicated, which is that there are people within the administration, very influential policymakers within the White House, specifically Stephen Miller, but there's a cabal of other Miller-aligned anti-immigration ideologues who have the president's ear and have had the president's ear from the start of his presidency. And as more and more people have left the administration over the last 2 years, these voices have only become more extreme and more influential. And so anyone who is at cross purposes with the likes of Stephen Miller and others are, you know, have their days are numbered in terms of their service in the administration.
Where does that put Kevin McAleenan, who's the head of Customs and Border Protection, who will now be serving as acting DHS secretary?
It's concerning because McAleenan, by all accounts, is a respected, thoughtful administrator, someone who's served in Republican and Democratic administrations. And he has already, some of the things that he has said, for example, that the U.S. needs to invest more heavily in the region in Central America to try to address root causes of migration. These are already at odds with some of the things the president has said and done. And so, it obviously remains to be seen what his tenure as acting Secretary of DHS will look like. But it's hard to imagine that he's going to have a solution to this problem that's plagued all of his predecessors.
Leon, are there any specific steps that DHS could take now that Nielsen is out, or is it really a question of following what the president wants no matter what?
Well, I think within the lawful framework of the court decisions and the statutes that exist, the administrative options are basically gone. There's a couple of things you could do with regard to reordering the way immigration courts work so that the people who are coming in most recently get their cases heard first. And with regard to then keeping those folks in some kind of monitored system so that you make sure that you are accomplishing a removal, if a removal can be achieved. But that's about it. I don't think there's really anything else you can do within your power to increase enforcement in a legal way. And that's why it's going to require, I think, a bipartisan solution that includes more things like refugee numbers and refugee processing centers abroad with a generous standard and hemispheric repatriation in exchange for some more enforcement abilities on the border. And I think that kind of deal can be made, but it requires a total transformation in how the parties deal with one another and the good faith that doesn't currently exist. And so that's what makes it problematic.
Jonathan, we've got a little less than a minute here. I'm just curious, what do you think Nielsen's legacy will be as we end the segment?
I think Nielsen will go down as one of the most, if not the most, aggressive secretaries of the Department of Homeland Security in the history of the department. And regardless of what her intentions were and regardless of what her thinking was when she was in charge of the department, the bottom line is she presided over the department at a time when it pursued some of its most heinous and aggressive and indefensible policies.
Jonathan Blitzer is a staff writer for The New Yorker, and Leon Fresco is an immigration attorney and former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.